Natalie, also known as Starscast, with another great show tonight. You're going to love this one. I mean, you're going to really love this one. Before we start, I bring on my guests. I want to remind you that articles and excerpts and poems and poetry and anything you have for the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com, you can send them to me at stars with a Z, cast, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. Send them to me. I'll look them over. I very seldom refuse anything. I don't think I have ever refused anything in all the years I've been doing this, because I just get beautiful work, and, you know, I'll ask you for maybe an image or a credit or, you know, hyperlinks, whatever you need to put in. I need to put in it, I will ask you for it. Those are due like the 30th and the 31st, and yes, I work on New Year's Eve, and I'll be putting all of that in while everybody's out there celebrating. I will be celebrating all the beautiful work that I'm putting up for all these people. That's what I do. And then again, I want to remind everybody about my other site. I have three sites, of course. Everybody knows that. I have Stars Psychics. That's Stars with a Z, psychics.com. You can go there. We have some great specials. We have 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25. Great advisors over there. We've been getting a lot of specials today, which is good. You know, a lot of people are new coming in, and it's going to be the new year, and you want to find out things. But you have to remember something, and this is a word to the wise. Nothing is written in stone. If somebody, even if you were to come to me, if you go to somebody, myself or whoever, and they say something, you have to remember there are so many variables out there. Things can change. Like if it's about, you know, a guy that you're seeing or a gal that you're seeing or what your significant other, it doesn't matter. Something could change because of what they do, not necessarily because of what you do, but what they do. That's what I call variables. So, you know, it's not like it's etched in stone. It's going to sit there. Oh, this is going to happen on this date. No, it doesn't work that way. Also, you have to remember the divine God, whatever you believe in, is in charge. Not you, not me. And timing is important. And just know that anything can happen at any moment in time. And then, so that's that site. And then I also have something called planetstarswithaz.com. That was my first site that I created in 1998. It's the hub of everything that I own. And I don't mean to say that I own so much, but, you know, everybody knows me by now. They know, yeah, we know what Natalie does. We know all about her. So without further ado, I'm going to bring this gentleman on who has written a book. It's got to do with reaching his son on the other side, and his name is Joe McQuillan. Joe, how are you tonight?
Hi, Natalie. I'm fine. Honored to be here. Thanks for having me on.
An honor to have you. Joe wrote a book, and I have it right in front of me, and it's a beautiful cover. It's got himself and his son, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. Now, everybody knows this is not on the other side of the road. This is on the other side. Mm-hmm. And most of you know about mediums and of course, the site that I have. And you can, if you are fortunate, find somebody who can make contact with somebody who has passed on. And sometimes it brings, we're going to talk to Joe about this, sometimes it brings you not closure now. You're not going to have closure from it, but it's going to make you feel like they are still with you. Some people need to know. They just need to know. Everybody knows me. I don't need to know. I just know. But sometimes it makes you feel so much better that you can still, you know, you can still feel that person. So, Joe, tell me.
Yes.
This is your first book, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is. It was never an intention to write a book, yeah.
But you were compelled to do it, or you were led to do it, I feel. Okay, let's just start at the very beginning. Kind of at the beginning. And I asked Joe to talk about only the things that he was comfortable with. We're not going to get upset. That's not what this is about, but you have to hope that Natalie doesn't. That's what I told him. I had him laughing because everybody knows Natalie. Natalie doesn't cry, she sobs. And so we won't do that tonight, I promise. Well, I'm not going to promise, but I won't. Okay, so you're from originally from Buffalo?
That's correct. Youngest of 10 kids from Buffalo, New York, yeah.
10 kids. Now, my mother had 10 kids in her family, but, of course, she's a lot older than you. 10, that's a big family.
That's a big
number.
That's huge. Right. And we're still, and there's four on the other side. The family's been the last 10 years gets together every year in Canada for a week. And just, we all, you know, four or five houses and 40 people. And Chris just loved reveling in being a McQuillan. He loved
I want to go into what kind of a young man he was also. So you left the world that you were working in, okay? Why did you decide to do this? This was obviously before you wrote the book, before anything happened in your life, correct?
Yeah, that I started to get involved with mediums or just
no,
left.
When you were did you just decide to quit your job, or did this happen with your son and then you thought, no, I have to do something more. So tell us about that. How did that come about for you?
Okay. So I'm still working. I'm a mortgage broker. I've been in the car business. I was a car dealer. I've been a mortgage broker for 10 years, and I'm still doing my job. It's just not my higher calling at this point. So in December 2015, my son was home from college. He's my oldest boy. I have two kids. One's a freshman at Boulder. The other one's just finishing up at Marquette, getting her teaching degree. And they're both home this weekend for this week for Christmas, and it's great to have them around. And so, you know, going on 3 years ago, Chris was home for Christmas, and we had a wonderful Christmas, and they decided, all the kids who were high school pals, to have one last hurrah. And one of the boys' family had a lake house up in Wisconsin, in Lake Beulah, and they all went up there, a dozen of them, and decided they were going to spend the night and shoot pool and rock and roll and kick up their heels. And a couple of days later, they were all going back to school. So on January 2nd, Chris was up there. And the morning of the 3rd, I got a phone call from the young man whose family owned the house and said, you know, Ms. McQuillan, the Christopher's missing, and so are three other boys. So I jumped in my Jeep and started driving up north, and I got a call halfway up that said, it's no longer a rescue. It's now a recovery, that all four boys had crossed and had passed and drowned. And I went up there and waited till they were able to recover my boy. It was all a nightmare. It was like sleepwalking. At 3 o'clock that morning on the 3rd, between 3 and 4, the canoe tipped over. The boys were roughhousing. 3 o'clock in the morning, they decided to jump in a canoe and on a lark, went out in the in a half frozen lake and not get it back. And so that was the inspiration for me searching for him on the other side.
Because you had this belief system in place before. I mean, because I have, but I mean, before this happened, did you always believe that there was something more when we passed away?
You know
what?
That's a great question, Natalie. And all I can tell you is that I did believe that there was another side. 15 years ago, prior to this, just on a spiritual quest, I had seen a medium, and most of it was pretty mediocre, and I wasn't really taken. And then at the end, she said, your dad's here, and he's showing me a caboose and telling you railroad. And at that point, everything flipped for me, because my dad was a railroader. We were a railroader family. All the boys worked on the railroad when they were kids going to college, and that's who we were. And I'm looking at a railroad lantern on my bookcase right now. I mean, we were a railroad family, and that was what the old man was about. The old man didn't say a lot, but what he said was a lot. So he was just telling me he was there. Now, I didn't need to draw on that. You know, my father had crossed over in a normal time, as did my mom, a little early, but normal. So it gave me a belief that, yeah, hey, you know, that's there. I put it in the file and closed the file cabinet. You know, so I believed in God. I had been sober now at this point 33 years, and so that led me to a belief in a higher power. but I kind of explain it that it's sort of like believing in the Secretary of the Treasury. I mean, I believe they're there. There's just no real need to communicate or get too close. And yet when Chris crossed over, I know I needed to either figure this out was real or check it off the list and find some other way. And that led me to mediums and meditation and spirit writing. And it was a two-year quest, two-year journey to reach him.
So how did you go about finding a medium? What did you do?
Well, the first thing I did is I picked up the phone and talked to that woman from 15 years before. She had moved to Surprise, Arizona. She was in the Chicago suburbs when I met her, and she had moved to Surprise, Arizona, and I picked up and called her a few days after he crossed, and she was very validating, extremely validating. Nancine Meyer is her name. If you're in Arizona, look her up. She's terrific. Said things, obviously, that others didn't know, and she didn't know about the event. And it was very reaffirming. I mean, and then I would wait a couple of weeks, try to connect again, because he was pretty new on the other side. So, it was a little spotty, and I was just holding on until I could communicate with him again. And I'd reach her, and then a few months later, it was, I wanted to look in the eye of a person talking to my son. You know, so I don't even know how I first connected with Nancine, but I then went on some websites, and Illinois had top 10 rated mediums and then reviews and ratings from the medium associations,
right,
and all that, and accreditation. So I picked up the phone and called this guy, Andrew Anderson, and I figured, you know what, I'll make an appointment. And if I don't feel like it, I'll just cancel and move on. But
right,
I didn't. You know, and the day of the meeting with Andrew, I was meeting with him somewhere around lunchtime, noon or so. So I was going to see him and then just go back to the office of the city. And prior to going there, I decided to spend a little time at my son's grave, which I spend a lot of time there. It's not maudlin. It's not sad. It's a spiritual place that I connect with him. I don't believe he lives there. I think he comes there to visit with me because the energy is good for both of us. So I was there, and I was planting some shamrocks around some loose dirt around his grave, which had blossomed for a couple of years, and you can still see remnants of them. And I before I left the house, I reached into a jewelry box and pulled out a leather bracelet that Chris had given me in Disney World, maybe when he was 4 or 5, and it had Goofy on it. It said Dad. And I put that under my cuff, and I went in to see Andrew and had no idea what to expect. And sitting in the waiting room looking around, and it was like, all right, you could still get out of this thing gracefully, you know, but the point of no return hit, and we sat down. Andrew looked at me, looked at a couple of pictures of Chris he asked him to bring out, and said, Chris acknowledges you were planting something this morning at his grave. He wants you to know that he acknowledges.
Oh, my.
That Chris acknowledges.
Oh, my.
Yeah, shamrocks, right?
Chris, I mean, that's validation right there.
I tell you this, Natalie, the crazy thing is I'm in this room, I'm in front of this guy for 10 minutes, and he's hitting me with Gatling guns of information that nobody knows. You can't Google search and look up a Goofy leather, you know, Disney World bracelet that he gave me. And he said, your son's acknowledges you're wearing the bracelet he gave you. You know, your son's acknowledging that you celebrated his birth the way you always did. He acknowledges that you set up Chinese lanterns. You know, and he wasn't guessing. He wasn't guessing. He was telling me these things. And at one point he actually said, he was just saying it. And I mean, it's just things are flashing in my head. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to be able to connect with Chris. And now I could look at this guy looking over my shoulder who's viewing my son. He's, you know, he was clairvoyant and clairsentient.
He could see him as well.
Cognizant. So he could see him. And he described, you know, he said, boy, he's good looking. He looks like Brad Pitt. And, he's happy you celebrated his birthday. He said, everybody was together the night before for a family celebration, all the spirits. What was that for? He said, you've got a lot of family on the other side. He said, what was that? I said, well, that was Sally and mine at the time. That was our 25th wedding anniversary. And so it was just our 26th anniversary. And it was just amazing. That it all came out, bam, bam, bam. And this went on, you know, this was an hour reading. You know, and this went on with these miraculous, truthful statements about my boy. He talked, and he said, Dad, you know, Chris, he said, your son's saying he's so sorry for the grief that he's given you, but he wants to know that it was just a dumb accident. You know, it's really important for him to know that it was just a dumb accident. He said, tell mom that I was in love. That was important, that I was in love when I drowned. And he said it was a girl who lived in a nearby town. And we thought it was he had just had a heartbreak from college. And I thought it was her. And Andrew said, nope, it's not her. It's somebody from a nearby town. And that young lady just had a reading with Andrew. So it was a consistent, level of absolute accuracy. He said to me, how many siblings do you have left on this side? And I said, five. And he said, no, you only have one. I said, no, I have five. He said, no, you have one. Well, what he was saying was true, that of the 10 kids, five were cousins that mom and dad took in the month before I was born and raised them. They all had the same last name and raised them all as one family. Nothing. This was what my parents were like. Nothing legal, no adoption, no state aid. They took them in. They were McQuillans, which was their name. It was, because they were cousins, and that was that. And so he said, no, you have one sister, one sibling left on the side. And it's my sister, Marcia, who was Christopher's godmother. And so that's the sort of validation. He didn't say to me, oh, are you sure? And he said, no, you're wrong. You have one. And I'm telling him I have five. He knew better because he was talking to spirit, and I was still heavily on this side. So that was my, can you imagine that happening at one sitting? And he just said, man, your son is such a powerful spirit, and you guys are so, it's amazing. So this led to, I wanted more. I wanted in. Whatever the rules are,
so you went back
to
see him.
Him and I have become almost pals now. We're not almost, we are pals.
I love it.
And you'll laugh because I've also seen other mediums, including Thomas John and Rebecca Rosen. These are world famous, world class mediums. And Andrew, I think was a little miffed, like, why are you seeing other mediums? And I said, well, same reason I go to a hockey game instead of a football game sometimes, because I want other viewpoints. Christopher has never not come through. Can you imagine? And Rebecca Rosen, 150 people, she walks up, boom. Wilmette Theater, medium walks right up and says, your son Christopher's here. He's here with your dad and your brother Jerry. Andrew Anderson Thomas John is early as a month ago. 75 people walked over and said, Chris is here. He named four siblings and a niece who's over by name. And then said, and your older sister, Pat, is here, and Chris is behind her making bunny ears, which is typical. That's just the way it was. That's my family. And my family's got the same energy and the same personality on the other side that they did on this. And it was just pure love and fun. But he crossed over, and my niece, Carrie, who had died in February 2013 of a brain aneurysm. And you asked what kind of kid he was. So he's in college. She dies completely out of the blue with his brain aneurysm, leaves two beautiful adopted children that her and her husband had adopted from Korea. Lovely kids. And after the funeral, we were packing up to go, and Chris said, I'm staying. And I said, well, he was 19 years old. I said, what do you mean you're staying? He said, Dad, they've got to work out child care. They got to work out this. And Bill, her husband, Bill's got to work. So I'm going to stay and I'm going to help with the kids. I'm going to nanny the kids. And that's what he did for 2 months. He changed diapers, drove them to daycare, took them to, wipe their noses. And for two months, he stayed on. And I said to him, buddy, that's a heck of a responsibility. He said to me, Dad, that's what family does. So that was this kind of kid. He was wild and devil may care and a little bit like his old man in that respect. But what a committed, sweet, loving kid. So when I had seen Thomas John, he was especially family. And not just family.
I think he's still of service.
He still is of service.
And, you know, I know people are listening and they're thinking, well, Natalie's going to lead this somewhere. I talked to Joe before this. I'm not going to lead him anywhere. I told him this is his show, and I wanted him to talk about whatever he was comfortable with. And you can hear that he's so comfortable with talking about this. And it's good for the listeners to know, because if you ever have the need to, that it's important to you, it's just important that you need to know. I need to know that he or she is there. That's, some people need to know, some people don't need to know. But now you know it's possible. And you found somebody, Joe, that you ended up being friends with. And I just think you were guided by your son. And this is all him,
sure,
you know. This is all him in the works.
This whole thing.
Just, I got to get my dad do this.
Yep.
Did he believe in the afterlife? What was his belief system like?
He had a spiritual bent, but remember, when he crossed, he was 21 years old, you know, so he was a baby.
Right.
And, but he had here's a kid that could read The Power of Now before I could take it in. In fact, I've never been able to get through that book. It just, I couldn't get my arms around it. And he was explaining it to me. So he had this, he'd be running around with a Tommy Bahama shirt, but he had this spiritual bent. And he was just a loving kid. It was Christmas the year before. And we had gone on a cruise, and I just loved being with the family. There were just the five of us together. And so Christmas, we had gotten home, and Christmas night I had made a roast, and we had eaten dinner, and he came out to me and said, Dad, can you make a plate for me? He said, one of my fraternity brothers couldn't get home for school, couldn't get home for Christmas. And he's home, he's in DeKalb, he was at Northern Illinois University, alone. I'm going out there. Will you make a plate for me and him? And went to Walgreens and grabbed a cologne set, half price, because it was after Christmas night. And they were open and wrapped it up and sent it out to him. And, you know, part of me, because he was kind of the devil that he was, you know, just a sweet, you know, wild kid, that I thought, is he hustling me? Has he got a date? Is there a keg party?
Yeah,
well,
right. I love
it. That's him. I mean, you know, and he wasn't above conning the old man.
I love that.
And at the wake, there were 2,000 people. They had to keep the wake open for 2 additional hours. 2,000 people waiting in the rain to come through and pay a little respects for his boy. And a young man walked up to me and said, Mr. McQuillan, I just wanted to know, your son last Christmas, you know, drove out to the house to spend the night with me and got a couple of other guys and brought me dinner and a present, you know, and
oh,
I just want
to
tell you how much that meant to me. I got to meet him. Now, you know what? I've been around long enough that I kind of believe that coincidence is just God showing off, you know, so this was
exactly. It's called divine order.
So,
that's what I tell everybody. It's divine order. That's what it is. It's just, you know, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, you can look at your life and say, oh, this is happening. That must mean that. No, what you have to do is you have to let it just evolve. And, you know, I have a lady listening tonight. She listens every night, every Wednesday night for me, and kind of she'll let me know, oh, Natalie, you did a good job. Well, Natalie, you didn't sound too good. Or Natalie, whatever. She never tells me I do bad. But anyway, she's kind of logical. But that lady draws information that you can't believe. She works for me also. But she kind of, you know, she believes that this happens and then this, well, there are synchronicities. This happens and this happens and this happens. But you have to look at everything that it's just another step for you in your life. It's another step. Oftentimes, though, I mean, because she's got this other side to her, she's not like me. We don't really lock horns, but I'll just say to her, you're just not like me. You don't believe like I do. I believe ultimate. I mean, that's it. That's just it. I just believe. That's it. And I talk to God. Sometimes I have words with him. I mean, he doesn't talk back, of course. But, you know, things going on. Now, what was that? Don't you think that was a blunder that you just did? I mean, you know, something like that, I'll say. And then I'll kind of laugh, sure. And I'll say, well, you know, I'm just kind of giving you the gist from here on earth, so you know. And so that's how I am. I mean, that's the ultimate. I just believe more than anything in life. That's the way it is.
You know, Natalie, the first week that he was gone, we were sleepwalking. I mean, there were arrangements. There was wakes. There was receptions. There was funerals. There were burial plots. There was all these details. And his godfather, Michael, was with me every step of the way. God bless his soul. But I would hit my knees at night because I pray at night. And I would tell God, you know, thank you for the day of sobriety. Thank you for my family. But I got to tell you, I'm PO'd at you for taking my son. And I did three nights in a row. On the fourth night, I got a message that said, I didn't take your son. Your son's recklessness and will caused him to leave early. You know, and I welcomed him home. But remember, I lost a son, too. And so all of a sudden, the light switch flipped for me that God wasn't moving these chess pieces around, you know, to manipulate our lives. God was holding me when I couldn't have made it through that week. And all of a sudden, I knew that he was on my side of the playing field, that I knew God was in my corner.
Yeah, well, you know, it's your belief system. And now, were you always like this? Did you always?
No.
You prayed every night?
No.
No? Okay.
No, no. You know what? I think I prayed.
I heard a no, and that one, like, oh no, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I was a wild kid, man. Like I said, I've been sober since I was 28 years old, and nobody quits drinking because they're doing it so well. So, but I did, I had 13 years of Catholic education. I made it through freshman year at a Catholic college. And I appreciated it and got a lot out of it, but I didn't carry that into the world. When I got sober, I get a little dose of spirituality because I believe that God took the compulsion away from me. So I believed in God, but I didn't call on him the way I did once I needed to connect with my son, you know. And I know that he let him come through. I know that it was all part of this. You know, I didn't intend to write a book. I was
going to ask you. I have to talk about how you decided,
sure.
Or you were prompted to sit down and start writing. And what did you start writing about? I mean, I'm very very intrigued by it. How did you do this?
Okay, so what I did is I would meet with mediums. First of all, I would start researching just because I needed to know. Annette Metter wrote a book about the other side, what it's like and what do mediums mean. And, you know, and so I would research and read and try to get through a lot of the books that people wrote, which are most of those books are so unreadable, you know, Natalie, that they're dry or they're not, you know,
right.
They're just not intriguing, you know, so clinical. So it was never my intention to write a book, but what I would do is I would meet with a medium and I would take copious notes, or I started then recording it, then coming home and writing notes. And then I would just file them in a file, just a file jacket, according to date. And what I assumed, Natalie, that at some point in time, I'd just sit on a porch with a cigar and start rocking and reading these notes. You know, that's what I was thought I was doing. You know, the Greeks used to say that man plans and gods laugh. And so my plan was to have this compilation of data that I could review in my old age, when I felt lonely and needed to connect with him. And yet, what the real plan was that a year into this, so he crossed over January 3rd, 2016. So in February, April 2017, my wife was downstairs and her brother stopped over to say hello, and they were talking about when Chris was little and how tenacious he was. And I just felt him all around me and how he used to play hide and seek. And that hide and seek stuck with me. He would say hide again and he'd go hide. And so that stuck with me. The original name of the book was actually Heidegger, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, but I think it was too confusing. So, but I walked up the stairs to my office, which used to be his bedroom. And what I would do is I'd write, and then I would have this file with all these notes and meetings with visits with mediums, all according to date, so that I use those as you read the book, you know, data for the book. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, only when I got into this that I realized that was the plan all along. The plan was for me to write a book. And then a year into this, so it was the first year of his crossing. So it was January 3rd of 2017.
Wasn't it painful, though, Joe, when you would sit down and write? I mean, did you get overwhelmed by all
yeah.
these emotions? Like,
sure.
Was it tough? It was tough to do that. It had to be.
You know what would be tougher? The void. The tough would even be tougher than that was air, you know, just blank air, dead air. That would be tougher than that. This was
yeah.
tough because I would be revisiting things. And I, you know, right now on a rung next to my desk is a golf towel. And I would, there's times I'd be writing and I would just stop and just start sobbing, you know. And then it would pass. It was like a tsunami, right? It would cross, it would overflow. And then I would, you know, I'd get through it and keep writing. And, you know, the first anniversary, I'm sitting, and I started getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to meditate, going into my office and lighting sage and candles and pictures of him and meditating. And on the first anniversary, all of a sudden I picked up a pen and started writing, and it was what was called channel writing. I thought it was automatic writing until I was almost done with the book, and then I realized that automatic writing was something entirely different. But what I was doing was spirit writing.
Right.
He was sending me a message. Now, what I've taken is these, and it'd be 3 or 4 pages of notes. I've taken them to Thomas John, and I've, you know, taken them to Sherry Jewell and Andrew Anderson. They've all validated that it's Chris. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, because I needed affirmation. Was I just some dad trying to get through this, you know? So early on, I was doing all the footwork, but I was doubting myself. And if you're reading the book, I'm doubting myself and need affirmation and confirmation that it's him. But he would come through with messages that I know didn't start with me. He used an analogy one time and said, "Dad, it's like a canoe cutting through water, calm water." Now, do you think in any lifetime I would use a canoe analogy after my son drowning in a canoe? Not a chance. So those
right,
are the kind
exactly.
of things.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking when you were saying that.
Yeah.
It was him.
Sure. The first visit I had with him, he told me there was a young man whose family owned the beach house, the lake house. It wasn't their fault. They were kids being kids. But I was, you know, I was had to be angry at somebody, so I was obviously holding a resentment. They said, "Dad, you know, this kid's named Scotty. I love Scotty. Scotty loved me. You got to let go of this." He said, "You be nice to him." And I thought, fine, Chris, I'll be nice to him. When am I ever going to need to see him again? 12 hours later, 20 kids showed up at the grave on the anniversary of his crossing over. It was an impromptu visit. 20 kids show up, and there was Scotty. And he came over, you know, brokenhearted, tears in his eyes. And I hugged him and told him I loved him because Chris loved him. Now, Chris prepared me for that. You know, and so you tell me, was that a coincidence? You know, golly,
no.
Was that me bringing this up?
No.
You know what Irish Alzheimer's is, apparently? It's where you forget everything but the grudges. I wanted to hold on to this resentment.
There you go.
And he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me.
So you're writing this book and you're getting validation from the mediums that you go to because you want to make sure the right information is there. Oh, yeah, or am I dreaming this? Am I making all of this up? Is this just some story?
Sure.
And validation, confirmation is so important in anything, even the kind of work I do, and I know a lot of my advisors are listening, the work that they do. Some will say, well, you might not be real, or are you real? Well, you know, I think you have to believe what you believe. And sometimes you never get proof. Sometimes you never, ever get proof. You just know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's something, and this lady's listening, there's something that I just know is going to happen. I just know. And her and I will lock horns. She'll say, well, no, it might not be that way. And I said, yes, it's going to happen. You're going to see, because it's my belief system. And I was a little Catholic girl, went to church and catechism and the whole thing, you know. And I would go in church, and I was just talking to my son about this, and I said to my son, you know, I'd look around and see all this gold, and I was probably 9, 10 years old, right? I'm really smart, but I didn't tell anybody. So I'm looking around, I'm thinking, why are we in this place? Isn't God everywhere?
Yeah.
Do I really have to come into this huge building with all this gold and pillars and... I was questioning that at 9 years old, even though I was, it was kind of, I always thought I'm just being brainwashed. I mean, they're just telling me all this, but not me, because I thought it all out. And, I mean, I went because it made my mother happy, and my friends went, so I went with them. But to this day, you know, I will say to people, you don't have to go into a church to talk to God. You can do it in your living room, which is where I do with my cat. And I discussed some things that haven't happened yet. You know what I'm saying? You know, now I'm not pushing. I'm like you. I mean, I will, you know, I won't give them the wrath, but I'll just say, you know, now you're taking your real good time on this, and I'm going to be as old as Methuselah, and then what? Then I'm going to end up leaving, and I'm going to come up, and I'm going to knock on your door, and I'm going to be mad. And you and I are going to go toe-to-toe, and my son laughs all the time. He says, I can see you doing that. You're 5'2", and what's he going to be, 6 foot? I don't care how big he is, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, you just know. You just know.
I like empty churches. I like empty churches, Natalie. I like empty churches. I think there's just sometimes there's a nice place to sneak in and just pray.
It really is, because there's no influence around, and you can feel what is there and what has arrived there and what is staying there. You're right about that. But it was jam-packed. It was jam-packed.
We'd go every Sunday.
Pardon me?
We'd have to go every Sunday. The old man never went to church, but we had to go. And the old man had some kind of beef with God, but he must have worked out, because he's with God now. So, you know, so I think whatever it is, God.
I love it.
Yeah, I think God probably made amends, you know, because the old man wasn't gonna. But we go every Sunday, you know, and it literally got buried in a lot of it. You know, I went to a high school called St. Francis of Assisi High School, and so the prayer of St. Francis every day for 3 years, and it meant nothing. It was like it was by rote. Yep. I would say this. But you know, at this point in time, the prayer of St. Francis is monstrously important to me. You know, you can use one line every day as a daily mantra. You know, I was with Thomas John. He came to me and he said, you go to his grave all the time, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, like, you were there when? Today? I said, yesterday. He said, but you go there often. I go, yeah. He said, you know, I tell most people, most parents who go to graves, they're not there. Don't go there. He said, but I'm not going to tell you that. He said, because you and your son connect there. He doesn't live there. He goes there to visit. He's with you when you go to pull up and visit. But you have a nice energy there. So go there as often as you want. You know, he said, that's a good place for you guys. And I just think there are certain places, beaches in Florida, I don't know why, there's, you know, certain places I think where the energy is very conducive to communication. You know, at night on a beach, I feel him all the time, and we've had some amazing interactions. So whatever, I got to tell you, and people now, you know, I'm pretty new at this whole thing. So, you know, I had a book signing the other day. We had 140 people sold out, standing room. It was lovely, you know. And so ever since then, you know, people were home for Christmas and come over, get a book signed and talk. And they would ask me questions, and I'd say, I don't know. You know, I'm scratching the surface. I can tell you my experience, but I'm not sure what heaven looks like. I do know what Christopher tells me heaven's like for him and what it's going to be like for me. You know, but I'm pretty new at this whole thing, you know.
How long did it take you to actually, you know, get all of this together to where you felt, well, it was a book? I mean, did you know when you were writing this that this was going to be a book, something that you were going to publish?
Right. Yeah, once in 2017, when it was April 2017, when I walked upstairs and I knew it was going to be a book. and I knew that he was involved in it. He was with me with every keystroke, every paragraph. And he would say to me sometimes, Natalie, there's quotes in the book where he said to me, come on, Dad, get going. You got to help people. You know, you're going into a slump, you know, and that's not right. You need to do this. You need to help people.
That's true.
So I'm getting reprimanded by my spirit son, you know, to get this thing done. So I knew the minute I sat down to write that this was going to be a book, and I knew it was going to be a really good book. And I believed it was going to get published. As a matter of fact, there was one point in time, and Lisa Hagen, who's just phenomenal, and she was the agent. Here's a funny story. I started going through the book, the manuscript done, but certainly not edited or completed, but just done. I had finished written. And he had told me that I needed to be done before Father's Day of 2018. And I was. I was done a couple of weeks ahead of time. We still had to polish it. But I started reaching out to try to get, you know, I met with authors and said, what's the hardest thing to do? They said, well, you got to get an agent. Without an agent, you're sunk. It's not going to work. You're not going to get anywhere. So I contacted a number of people. I got to Lisa Hagen and I stopped. I sent her a manuscript and I stopped. I stopped contacting anybody else because, you know, at this point in time, when I'm told to do something, I'm going to do it, you know. So I reached out to her and she said, look, I read a couple chapters. I was amazed how much I laughed at such a serious and sad subject, but I laughed. She said, you're a fabulous writer. There's no way I'm going to get to this book till the end of the summer or fall. She said, so I'll touch back with you later on. And a couple weeks later, I called her, and I was sending out candy to clients. And she said, that's amazing you would say that. She said, I just said to my assistant, boy, I wish we had some of that chocolate, Swiss chocolate that we had brought back last time. And she said, we had just run out, and my buddy has a chocolate company, so I sent her some chocolate. And she said, you know what? You're tenacious. But your kid is unbelievable. She said, he's relentless. She said, every time I sit down to try to read somebody else's manuscript, your kid's pushing his manuscript and your manuscript on me. She said, so I finally gave up, read it. I loved it. I'm sending a contract over. I want to do it. You know, so now we did this and we're getting it edited and going back and forth through the editing process. And a couple weeks in, I'm not hearing, you know, she's sending it to publishers once we finish the editors. And I'm not hearing anything back. And we're getting a couple rejections. Yeah. And I'm shocked. I'm thinking, this is the best friggin' book I've ever read on this subject. You know, and I can say that with humility because it was mostly written by him. I was just the vehicle. I was the pen. And we weren't getting anywhere. And I was really surprised. And I'll tell you, I went into a little bit of a slump. A little funk because I was like, wow, this is what I'm meant to do, and this isn't coming together. And then Lisa sent me an email and said, you know something? I'm a publisher. I have my own publishing company, and I'm tired of waiting for anybody else. I'm going to pull an offer because I don't want anybody messing with this book anyhow. You and I are on the same page, so let's publish it. So by Thanksgiving, this book was out. Now, here's the amazing thing. It took me, you know, there was 2 years worth of research. It took me a year to write it, right? It took me a year to write it from the time I started. And it took another 6 months to get published. And it's sold, and there's a bunch of reviews, and you can buy it on Amazon.com. And it's really taking, like, this is going to go somewhere because it's going to help a lot of people. And when I talk to people, they take 7, 8, 9 years to get books published or finished or completed. You know, it was written in a year and published 6 months later. So I know that there's some movement on the other side helping me get this thing. My son's been backing this thing and pushing it the entire way. So it's almost like I can relax. You know, I'm going to do the footwork, but I know that he's steering this thing, you know, and it's gonna be a pretty big book, Natalie. I really believe that.
Well, I have it in front of me. And are you going to continue writing? I mean, do you have the bug now, or is this going to be?
Yeah, I can't. You're funny. You know, you may not be a medium, but you're certainly intuitive. So I had started writing the second book.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this book, and I'm just getting this feeling because of the way your son is looking on the cover here, and I'm thinking he's
isn't that a great
you
cover?
Stop. Yeah, no, it really is.
Baseball
but
game.
He's just not going to let you stop, Joe.
No, he's not. So I started a second book, and it's called Now What? And I started the second
now
book.
What? Okay, now that I've done this, now what?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. It's good.
Yeah, now
great.
What?
I like
I mean,
it.
There's more now. And so I started writing Now What? And when I didn't hear back on the first book from publishers, I went into a little bit of a funk, you know. And
of course.
I'm talking couple.
With the rejection.
I'm talking.
Because here you're thinking this is
couple,
the most wonderful geez. Thing that has ever been given to me, and
right?
Nobody wants to publish
who
it.
Who wouldn't publish this? I think anybody that doesn't get their arms around this is a moron. I'm serious. This is a
wonderful
book.
But you
got to
remember,
book.
Though, Joe, they're looking at it from a standpoint of what's going to sell. Now, first of all, you're an unknown, okay, coming into the whole scheme of things here.
Good point.
And but you have for you, it wasn't about all of them. It was about this lady
right.
that you sent the manuscript to, and she
right.
probably sat
right.
there and she thought, you know, I really love this. Why don't I just do it myself? Okay, I'm going to do it. And that's when she made her decision because it wasn't supposed to go beyond her.
Friends.
Yeah.
And he's all over it. He said she's just amazing. You know, she said he's just amazing. And Lisa and I have become really good pals, and I really dig it. And so, yeah. So, and then, you know, so I've been accumulating. Of course, the book stops. The book is written up until the date of January 3rd, 2018. So, that's where the writing stopped, you know, the
mm-hmm.
third, their second anniversary. But there's been a whole lot since then. You know, there's been mediums. There's been, you know, spirit writing. You know, there's been a bunch of stuff since then. And then what's really intriguing to me is, you know, every year, as I said, we all go up to Canada, across the Peace Bridge from Buffalo for a family vacation. And I've been following this whole Lilydale thing since I was a freshman or sophomore in college.
Oh,
and,
Lilydale.
And
that's in New York,
knew,
isn't it?
Well, here you go. Here's the funny part. Here's the synchronicity of all this. So a gal that I knew, and her she was a good gal, and her mom, she's a medium now, by the way. Her mom was a medium at Lilydale. Now, this is 1977, so she's a little embarrassed by this, and I'm saying, don't be embarrassed. I'm really intrigued. Tell me about it, you know. But then I lost interest.
Right.
You know, it was something else came up, you know, baseball, a pretty girl, a butterfly, who knows, you know.
A whim. I'll do this, right?
Yeah, a whim. I have ADD. A shiny object went by. I don't know. So, so this
Lilydale
thing. I gravitated
to it. You're so funny.
Right. Yeah, I just followed it like a lure. You know. So this Lilydale thing, it always stuck in my mind. A couple weeks ago, we played some music. A couple of friends at Chris. We have a golf outing, and Christopher's on it for two wonderful, wonderful charities, And one of the guys said, you know, I went to Lilydale 10 years ago. I was on business, and I stopped by. And he told me about this really good, there was a film that the HBO has on a documentary on it. And so I said, you know what, dang, if I'm not going to check out where Lilydale is and go there this summer. So I go online. Well,
it's a spiritual
45 minutes from
town,
where
actually. It's like it's all contained.
It's a whole enclave. It's the biggest
thing. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I've never been there, but when I started into all of this for myself, it was before I worked for America Online, I guess 30 years ago, whatever it was, I did a lot of research. But you see, I mean, I have a fairy tale that I have, okay, but this is different. I had no desire to learn about things that I knew I couldn't do or I just figured I couldn't do. I knew about Lilydale, but I never encountered anybody there, and I still have not encountered anybody. And since all this that I do now, right, nobody has come forth to me. So I just didn't have that, I knew what it was, and I know what they do, and maybe I wasn't a believer, I don't know. But that didn't, it's amazing that it piqued your interest. It really never did for me because I was so surrounded by so many with this group in Michigan,
right.
Because I'm originally from Michigan, that I helped run this thing,
okay.
Collected all the money, of course. I was the keeper of the funds. And I had it all around me all the time. And I didn't know, I never knew what I would be doing now. Or, you know, this my one site is just a little over 7 years old. And I had another site that I had with Planet Stars, my first site. But I didn't know, I didn't even have a clue, Joe, of what, that I would be the focus for all these people to come to. I have over 2,000 applications. People want to work for Stars or me. But,
right.
You know, it's a slow time right now. And I, you know, I'm, there's a part of me that when you are on my site, we're family. I take care
yeah.
of you. You don't have to, you just work your tools with your tools, do your thing, I'll handle the rest. Somebody's complaining, don't worry, I can handle them. I'll take care of it. And I
right.
do.
Right.
But you know, I'd love to have 500 of them. But, you know, you have your slow times and your really busy times. It
sure.
has been really slow. Now it's picking up because I'm seeing them receipts coming through. But I feel bad for all these people. They will beg me. And see, that's where my role is that I've got a platform for them. I have a network, and I have this platform that they can come on, and they're independent contractors. And I guess when I was starting all into this whole world, I guess that's what I was supposed to always do, and I was an astrologer. But then I found out I could hear, and now I see. It's like a little movie in my head. And so,
yeah.
But I can't do it as far as a reading. I can only do it for myself. And I think that's what
right.
it's supposed to be. It's just supposed to be for me.
Well, I'm
but
not,
look at you, Joe. You are opening a door for those who may have been a little skeptical, who have thought, oh, yeah, right. Are they really real? They really are. I had one, and she passed away in February. We were like sisters. I mean, I didn't come on the radio for 3 months, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. And she was just the best. And I don't know how the other ones are, but she would convene with her guides. And I love that word, convene. And I just say to her,
yeah.
Her name was Maya Moon. I said, go convene with the guides and tell and let me know what they think. Okay, I'll do that. And I said, I don't mean sleeping. I mean go talk to them. Just let's get this on the table.
Yeah.
Put the cards on the table. And she'd laugh at me. Oh, God. And I said, well, they probably think to themselves, oh, here she is again, just like what God does every morning. Oh, here's Natalie again. She's going to be complaining
yeah.
about something. And I'll say to him, well, not every day do I complain now. You know, I will congratulate you. Well, that was good. You know, I don't know why
yeah.
I do that. I just take it upon myself
to give
him some wrath. You know, okay, God, I'm here. Yes, it's me again, you know. But I really joke about it when I'm doing it. I'm very serious because I am of the mind that I just see so many blunders. But then I understand why. And, you know, sometimes
yeah.
I'd say to him, you know, you and I are going to go toe-to-toe when I get up there. We are going
yeah.
to duke it out. Because,
yeah.
And then I'll ask him, give it to me. And I will fix an awful lot. That's how I feel my role really is in the world. But
yeah.
I have this little fairy tale, and when I decide that I want to publish it, it's a beautiful story. Now, this other, I don't want to get into mine, but your book,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to finish it. I mean, I couldn't read it all. I mean, I'm a fast reader. I read a lot on one page at one time. But I chose not to do that with your book because it just seems
right.
to be so important to me. And I got to tell you this, I love the feel of it. Has anybody ever told you that? I love the feel of
yeah.
your book.
The whole thing.
And
the essence of
your son has this look like, oh, listen to this.
Yeah.
Your son has this look like, oh, so you think we're done? No, we're not done.
Yeah.
We've only begun.
No, we're not done.
I'm telling you that picture.
I got to tell you, I was concerned when I finished the book. And it was the first couple of years when I did the golf outing. You know, I loved having him because I knew he was with me when I'm doing all the organization and planning and all of that. It was a wonderful, wonderful success. Best outing I've ever attended, you know. And I hate golf outings. And mine's just phenomenal because it's Chris's. So, but I would always have this kind of hangover when it was over because I was so used to spending time working shoulder to shoulder with his spirit that I was very worried about when this book was over that there would be that desert, you know? And, you know, we got right into the editing.
Yeah, because you think, I'm done.
PR.
Yeah, I'm done. This is it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
And
yeah.
then he made it very clear to me. And, you know, as you just
oh,
said,
no.
he made it very clear to me, we're not done. And by the way, here's the kind of neat thing. Because of who I am, I mean, I'll be 62 in January. I still play hockey. You know, my companion at the grave all the time is my Labrador. You know, I have a brush cut, a broken nose. And I think it's easier for guys to get a message from somebody like me, because it's almost like, wow, if he can buy into it, I can too. And Chris said that to me all the time during the book. He would say, hey, Dad, you know, men don't have a lot of places for this. You know, it's more acceptable for women to be able to grieve, join together, process, where a guy is just supposed to suck it up, buttercup. And he said, this message is going to help others. And, you know, Thomas John the Medium said to me, you're going to help a lot of people, guys that, you know, they didn't think they had a place to turn, you know, are going to be able to turn to you. So he said, buckle up, this thing's going to get going. So this is the higher calling for me. And I'm ecstatic, Natalie, that I'm, and even this morning, you know, with Christmas and all that, and half of Christmas for us now is, you know, I have two kids that we need to celebrate Christmas and joy, and they've suffered this terrible tragedy too.
Of course.
But a lot of it is just getting through Christmas, you know, and then getting through the anniversary of his crossing, which is the third. But the fact of the matter is, the last couple of days I've been fully engaged in going through notes. I was going through a recording of a medium from last spring that I will then dictate and put down and handwrite before entering it in the book. And so it was like, okay, bud, pack in this now. You know, do your interviews, do your work, you know, but you've got this book to write too. So, you know, he's kicking me in the pants again, saying, let's get going. You know, so I'm giddy. I'm happy as heck that I have another book in me, because that means he's side by side when I'm writing it, you know, and he doesn't let me.
He'll
get
always
away
be
with
you, though.
Like,
I mean, he's not going to ever let you go.
Yeah, he will.
And
And
next year, I'm sure the book will be ready to go. We're going to have you back on the show again, and you're going to tell me about the notebook. And what now? What now? You know, what do I do now? Now what? Now what?
Yeah.
You know? I honor you for doing this
me,
book.
It's not
and
what
Chris,
now. It's now what? It's now what?
Now
it's
what?
It's
yeah, now what?
What? Now what?
I because I just feel that your message is going to really get out, and you can get his book on Amazon, and it's called My Search for Christopher on the Other Side by Joe McQuillan. And if you want any information, you just email me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com, and I'll guide you in the right direction. But you're going to see the book, and it's Joe and his son, and you're going to see exactly what I'm seeing when I'm looking at his picture. It's almost like he's looking at me. Almost like he's saying to me, you know what I'm trying to do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful what you've done.
For your readers, for your listeners, it's they're not gone. You may have to try harder to figure out how to connect, but they're not
gone. You know
gone.
What I do with Maya,
you know, so,
because, I mean, I've lost other people, but Maya just really hit me because we were like sisters and
right.
Text and talk to each other every day, and she worked for me for almost seven years.
Wow.
I talk to her every day, and sometimes I get a little mad at her. Okay, well, you know, I can hear. So what's going on here? How come you're not doing something? You know, I'll get a little impatient, and I'll laugh, and I'll say, well, I know it's all about the timing. Well, forget the timing. I'm talking to her, right?
Yeah.
Forget the timing. I need to know this now. You need to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I have cards. I read cards. And I'll ask her a question, and I'll say, okay, I'm giving you the chance, listen to me, I'm giving you the chance to answer me, my questions through my cards. Now, if you think you can do it,
yeah.
Because she was not a card reader, and I'd read for her, and she said, I'd ask her a question, okay, well, what about this? And then I'd divide it in three piles to the left, always to the left, and I'd turn it over, and my question would be answered in some way. And it's almost like I'd have to look at it. Well, now, what do you mean by that? What is this? You know, I asked for a yes or a no, and you don't give me a yes or a no. You give me something else. Or like sometimes it's like something has to be completed or blah, 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 stuff like that. So I do it
right.
Every day with her now because I still haven't
yeah.
heard from her. Now, one of my readers
well,
told me
you know,
she's around you. And she said, she is earthbound. And I said, oh, I get it. She needs to be hovering over me. And she said, yes. And she worries about you. And I said, why? She said, I don't know, because sometimes, she says, Natalie, you just get so serious and so into what you do that she just feels that she needs to be there. And I said, well, maybe that's why I'm not getting anything from her, hearing her, is because she's still on Earth. She's walking around,
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Her and I were laughing about it. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to tell her, look, if you're going to be earthbound, then you need to show yourself, because she knows I am not afraid. We used to do topics like the shadow people. We
yeah.
talked about everything, her and I. And
right.
so, you know, for you, this is such a special gift that you've been given. That's how I feel. I'm going to
yes,
give you
is.
My interpretation.
I do too.
That he's not going to leave you, but
no.
he will wait for you. He will wait for you, but
yeah,
he's not leaving your side.
He'll be there when I cross. He'll be there when I cross.
Yes.
He's already promised me.
But until that time, he's there. Now, I have to ask you something else. We're not over time because
sure.
I have it extended 30 minutes. But well, how did your wife feel about this?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, she was amazingly connected to Chris. That was her first baby and energy. Now, and she's seen Rebecca Rosen, and she's seen Thomas John. And so she's gotten some amazing head-to-head, one-on-one with mediums that were unbelievable. I mean, just so unbelievable. Now, she doesn't have the automatic writing, and that's, for some reason, that's a gift. And it's a gift. It was given to me. But believe me, I work at it, too. You know, I do everything I can. And I think you got to give it away to keep it, because, you know, you could lose it. You know, so she buys in
yeah.
completely. He sent me a message for her for Christmas that he wanted me to share with her. So, you know, that's
excuse
her
me.
Story and you know, her story and her readings. But suffice it to say that she's completely on board and just an absolute anchor for me when it comes to this. You know, that, you know, you got to understand, not everybody gets what we do, you know, or this connection. And the benefit
yeah.
of being from an Irish Catholic family, a dysfunctional family, happy, loving, dysfunctional family, is that I don't care. You know, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, you know, but
right.
if you're inclined, and if you felt a loss, and if you need to know more, you know, go on Facebook, contact me, reach out. I'm happy to help, because I'm given a gift. You know, this isn't something
okay, and how can they
that
reach
I'm
you on
entitled
Facebook?
To. Well, Joe McQuillan.
Excuse me. How can they reach you on Facebook?
Yeah, just go with Joe McQuillan. Just friend me. I'll befriend you. You know, I get, and you can message me. I have a website. It's joemcquillan.com or my search for christopher.com. But go on Facebook
and
friend Joe McQuillan. Yeah, I hear you. That could be your friend Maya.
She's telling me I'm talking too much, probably, because I can
She's messing with you.
Took a drink of something, and I'm sorry. as I'm choking on the air, no, I'm okay. Anyways, okay, so we've got your web address, and I'm going to go look at it. And you got to give me a minute until I get over this.
McQuillan. jbmcquillan@gmail.com.
Through this, okay?
And I'm happy to, you want to friend me, I'll friend you. And there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of interviews that I've done, GN Radio and for me, all it is more validation for you. You know, I'm already crossed that line. I already know it's real. You know, so reach out. I'm happy to connect with you.
And wait a minute. I'm going to take a drink of water, Joe. So be
sure.
You can say whatever you want to say while I do this, so I can get rid of this little tickle, because I don't want to be ending the show and I'm coughing away, but
well,
something bothered me. It's probably
I was telling you about Lilydale. It turns out that when I drive from Chicago to Fort Erie, Canada, and where I always stop in Buffalo to visit my brother, that Lilydale's half an hour from there. So I'm going to go a couple days ahead of time, and I'm going to do some research at Lilydale and put that in the next book.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get that. And I'm sure Sarah's going to be your publicist, right? She always does your PR.
Mm-hmm. Sarah will do the PR and Lisa
then I'll
Hagen
get it because
be
that's a given.
Agent.
Anything I ask for, she sends it to me. I mean, she'll send me 3 or 4 books at a time. Did you like any of those? Did I just want Joe's? Because she knew that
terrific.
That was right up my alley. And
Oh,
I mean, and I keep looking at your son. What?
He's beautiful. It should be up everybody's alley, Natalie, because you know something? Even if you haven't lost somebody who's on the other side, we're all going there. So I don't know about you, but if
that's
I'm
right.
going somewhere in the Caribbean or something, I want to look up, I go online and look up what it's about. So we're giving you a little insight of what the other side's, you know, we're all going. It's not optional, you know, so we might as well figure out what it's about.
Well, I always feel that it's like there's this big book, and if your name is on that page, it's time. That's it.
And you know,
I almost died once, but I was spared. And people know that story, and I think it's because of what I was supposed to be doing. Beyond that, it was back in 1983. Yeah, I do. You know, I really, I have this fairy tale, but it's a love story, but it's just beautiful. And again, it's believing in things that you cannot see. Believe in the things you cannot see, and that's what it's about. And it comes from your soul and behind your heart, and it's the depths that nobody can really see. You cannot see it. Even if a cardiologist looked at your heart, he would or she would not be able to see it. And see, that's how I am. And it's just beautiful. And it's about this man that I'm waiting to hear from because it's going to be a true story. And then I can let everybody know, See, I knew 2 years ago, nobody really believes me. And that's true, Joe. But
I
believe, and that's the important thing. Joe believes her. See, I got one believer.
I believe
you're on my, you're in
you
my
know,
fan.
Somebody
you're
was,
on my fan base here. I got a fan.
I was talking to my oldest pal in the world, a guy named Al Conrad. We grew up in Buffalo together. And his first wife had crossed over 13 years ago, and he was telling me about a sign. He said, you want to hear something? He said, it sounds unbelievable. I said, Al, I'm talking to a guy who's written a book about his connection with this kid on the other side. You know, nothing sounds strange to me. Feel comfortable telling. Yeah, he was telling me about the butterflies that his wife was sending him, had sent him. And the lovely thing is, you know, he's since married to another wonderful gal, and he's very, very spiritual, and he gets signs, you know, from his wife, and you know, in a form of butterflies. And I love it. He goes, "Want to hear something weird?" I said, "You're talking to a guy who wrote a book about a son on the other side." You're
I'm number one
weird
over here. How cute is that?
I don't even know what weird.
You're not going to tell me anything I don't know. I haven't heard already. You know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. It's when you get into that type of I call it a realm. It just opens up a lot of different things because then you can believe everything. You're not stuck in this little box where, I believe. I mean, I think anything can happen at any moment in time.
Me too.
That's it.
Me
that's
too.
How I believe. You know, see, that's
book,
how we are.
I wrote a book in a year. In a year and a half, I wrote a book and it got published. Now.
Right.
And
you had
140
people waiting to get you to sign it. That's pretty pretty good to me.
Right.
Pretty good to me.
Yeah, me too.
Now,
so
is
it's
it
a pretty good
you
indication
go, how far
that
away
it's
do you
mine.
Go to sign? Yeah, just stay in your area or wherever?
Yeah, you know what, but it's funny. I've been approached from I've got a bunch of pals that were originally from Chicago, that guys and gals who are now transplanted out to California. So there's a bookstore in Hollywood. I think that they're arranging a book signing. I was at a restaurant with my daughter today. I'm in. I say yes to everything. And the guy.
Well, you know, when I was
going to
have the interview at the day after Christmas, and you know, one publicist, she said, don't do it the day after Christmas. And I got to thinking about it. No, I'm going to do it. And then I mentioned something to Sarah, and she said, I got somebody right away. And she told me why did you want to come on my show? Just because? Or what did she say? I have never asked anybody that. Why?
Why did I want to come? Because I don't say no, you know, because I want the exposure. My son's message has got to get out there, and it's only through people like you that it's going to get out there. So I, you know, to say no, I think, you know, am I going to spend a year, you know, writing a book with my son and then be stingy upon my time about getting on a wonderful show like this and getting the message out there?
Oh, no, this is a great topic. This is perfect, and it's going to open other doors, and I can't wait to hear how you do out in Hollywood. Oh, my God. I have a publicist that's out in Los Angeles, and she sends me a lot of people too. But it's just amazing. You meet the right person, and then you go to do this, and then you do that, and maybe somebody out there might kind of linger around and say, you know, this would probably make a pretty good movie.
Yeah, well, ask Treat Williams if he's busy, because. Lisa asked me, who would you like to have play you? And I said, I think I'd like Treat Williams to play me.
Oh, yes. There's a lot. But I'm just saying, you know, I think when you're in the vicinity of something like that, I think there's always people coming in and saying, well, what's this book about? You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me, Joe, at all. And it wouldn't surprise me at all.
You know, the book, The
Secret.
So,
Chris, if you're listening, let's get on the stick and
yeah,
get your dad
he's always listening.
In front of the right people.
He's
now I'm going to start
listening.
Talking to Chris, of course. I have to. I mean, I have to start telling him
he's
things.
He's around.
Of course.
You know, the book, The Secret, would say that you can travel 2,000 miles in a car with a headlight that extends 20 yards, right? So all you got to do is look what's in front of you. So today was what's in front of me was a wonderful conversation with you tonight. A conversation with somebody else.
Oh, and I really enjoyed
today.
It. You're one. Yeah. If I was near you, I'd say to your wife, "Hold on, I got to give him a big hug."
I'd be happy to have
you. You are everything that I thought you would be before we talked.
Oh my God!
And
so nice.
I'm so glad.
Thank you.
When the other book comes out sometime next year, we'll have you back again, and we want to hear about this next one.
Better.
Okay, now, everybody, my Search for Christopher on the Other Side on Amazon by Joe McQuillan. Go to Amazon and look at the cover and look at his son. I mean, he's just – did he do pranks?
Oh, yeah, he was a big funny kid. And he would tell people – that he was Brad Pitt's second cousin, that he used to do walk-ons and stand-ins, just for a lark.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
He was a funny,
how cute is
funny,
that?
Funny kid.
Oh
you know
no,
what?
He's just
all
got
his,
this mischievous
his,
look on his face. That
he was a very good bad boy, and it was a wonderful song that his one of his friends who was a songwriter wrote, and he said that he wouldn't let you have a bad time. You know, you had to have fun when he was around, you know, and he still is. I still adore him. He still messes with me. I'll be sitting here in this, and the printer will go on, or I'll be sitting here and something that was in front of me is missing. And I'll go, come on, dude, I'm busy. You know, help me out here. Quit messing with you, old man.
Let's get with the program here.
You know, so he's.
Well, it was an honor to have you, and I'm so glad we met, and we'll do this again. And everybody, please go look at his site, friend him on Facebook. And I should spell it out so they know. Is it just JoeMcQuillen? Is that your Facebook page?
Correct.
Is that what it's
yep.
called?
Yep, Joe
okay.
McQuillan.
All
and
right.
there's JoeMcQuillan.com, and there's MySearchForChristopher.com. You'll find it. You know, just plug in and let Spirit write. You'll get it.
Yeah. Well, I bow to you. I think it's just a wonderful thing that you've done, and now I have my voice back, and I'm not coughing. See? We have to.
Maya
was probably saying, just shut up.
I'm humbled.
She's always teased me, Joe, on the show. She'd say, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Natalie, you could just talk the whole hour. You don't need me. I love new people. My son said to me tonight, Mom, how do you do this? Because I love people and I love new people. And that's my job is to help to promote, you see, by doing the magazine. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to write to Dear Sarah. Because I need something from you so we can put it in the magazine for the January issue.
I love it.
And
Absolutely.
We still have time. And you could, I have to keep you on the air a little bit to get your email address. But you could even write to the teller, Natalie wants something for the issue. I don't I don't think I have anything from you yet, but I really want to help promote you, and I'll put it in as a feature. And if I don't get in contact with you this time, then we'll do it the next month. We'll do it in February, but we will put you in there.
Well, let's get it done. I'm honored to be part of it, so that's wonderful.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. You have a great evening. And you're a wonderful man. I mean, oh, my gosh, your wife is so lucky. She's got somebody so gifted and so open to beautiful things. It's just going to make your life better. That's all. You're just going to be – you're doing a great job. And with that,
one
now I'm going to end the show. Like I end the show, and I want to let everybody know we have another guest next week, and I don't even tell them. I just put it on my website, so I always say who's coming up, and they don't even know who's coming up. And but I'm kind of geared towards the spiritual now. It seems like all these people want to be on the show that have all of these gifts to share and stories to share, and I really like doing that. I like doing that an awful lot.
Yeah.
So since we've gone over, and that's okay, I love it. It's not everybody, Joe, that I run over time with, you know. So
well,
this is really something.
Like I said, I'm flattered. I'm humbled by the – By the kindness, I really am. It's terrific.
Well, you know, you're just awesome. So, anyways, okay, we're going to end the show here. Back next week, we'll be into the new year, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with another great guest. Look on the websites. Go to mysticlivingtoday.com or starspsychics.com, or if you want to go to planetstars.com. I was into the stars, I guess, always my life. You can reach everything through the main, through the hub that we have, and it'll be really, really good. And so as I end the show every week, and Joe, you're going to hear this. Now, I want everybody to know to believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. And with that, I'll say goodnight. Goodnight, Joe. I'll talk to you soon. I have your phone number anyway, so I don't need Sarah.
Terrific. And I'll text you by email.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joe. Good night, everybody. I hope
Bye-bye.
You enjoyed the show. I know
good
you night, did. Everybody. I probably had some people crying, but that's okay. Okay, good night.
I enjoyed the show. Good night. Thanks.